said concerning Jesus Christ, and being found in the form of a servant, he humbled himself even unto death, even to death upon a cross. And because of this, God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I heard somebody say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Come on, crown him. Crown him. Oh, y'all ain't gonna crown him, are you? Crown him. Crown him Lord of all. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Galatians. The chapter is 5. And the verses for your consideration are 16 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. If you have that, say amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Using that text, I want to share the second message in a series of two entitled The Power of a Spiritual Lifestyle. The Power of a Spiritual Lifestyle. In the lesson on last week, there were several key concepts and ideas that we talked about. We talked about the fact from the text in Galatians chapter 5, rather chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, that no one can make a fool of God. Nobody can pull the wool over God's eyes. Nobody can get over on God. Because God has in place in this world that governs all of us, he has a great inexorable law called the law of sowing and reaping. And God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now in view of this truth, nobody can fool God. Amen. We talked about the fact that in a sinful lifestyle, there's power. If you choose to live a life of sin and disobedience, there's power in that lifestyle. But you must understand, it is corrupting power. It is decaying power. It is death-inducing power in the lifestyle. And of course, we are interested in lifestyle. The Bible is very interested in lifestyle. It uses several words to denote lifestyle. We hear the word walk. That word is used to denote our lifestyle. We are to walk worthy. We are to live a life that is suitable to the blessing we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the word run is used in Scripture. We are to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, that denotes lifestyle. And then there's the word that's called live. We are to live a certain way, according to Titus 2, 11 and 12. Now the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, godly, and righteously. Where? In this present world. And then there's the word sow, denoting lifestyle. You reap what you sow. Everybody has a lifestyle. And everybody's lifestyle will have an outcome. Amen. Sometimes there is a diametrical contrast between the lifestyle of certain people. We talk about the lifestyle of the rich and famous. We talk about the lifestyle of the celebrity and the elite. We talk about the lifestyle of the poor and the disenfranchised and the poor. But everybody has a lifestyle. We talked about the lifestyle, or rather we think about it in Scripture, the lifestyle of a rich man, who the Bible say live or dress in purple and fine linen every day. We talk about the fact that he ate sumptuously. He was living large, amen. And then in contrast to his lifestyle was a poor beggar named Lazarus, who lived in squalor and poverty. And how the dogs came and they licked his sores because the rich man wouldn't give him a crumb from his table. So everybody has a lifestyle. And everybody's lifestyle will have an outcome. Don't you fool yourself. If you're doing your thing gonna come to an end. And it will have an outcome. Now, I want to read again from the J.B. Phillips New Testament in Modern English. And I want to read again from Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. Because I think this provides some facilitation to our comprehension or understanding of this particular idea here. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, listen to Dr. J.B. Phillips as he renders this text. He says, here is my advice. Live your whole life in the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of your lower nature. For the whole energy of the lower nature is set against the Spirit, while the whole power of the Spirit is contrary to the lower nature. Here is the conflict. And that is why you are not able to do what you want to do. But if you follow the leading of the Spirit, you stand clear of the law. Now, I want to talk about two other things with you this morning about spiritual lifestyle. And the first point I want to share with you is to win at the game of life, you need a spiritual lifestyle. That's the first point. To win at the game of life, you need a spiritual lifestyle. The second point is the place and the power of the Holy Spirit in a spiritual lifestyle. The place and the power of the Holy Spirit in a spiritual lifestyle. Now, life is about winning and losing. And if you know anything about life at all, you know you win some and you lose some. Have I a witness here? You win some and you lose some. And to win involves a victory. We all need some victories in our lives. And if anybody is interested in helping us to gain the victory, it's God. Amen. Listen to what he says in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. Can you relate to victory? Victory means to succeed over an opponent or an enemy, it means to overcome something that is difficult and hindering. And we all need some victories in our personal lives. If anybody is interested in helping us to be winners, it's Jesus Christ. The Bible lets us know he came from heaven's adoration to earth's agony to help us to be winners. He came from heaven's coronation to earth's crucifixion to help us to be winners. When Jesus Christ talks about taking up the cross, it's about winning, amen. When he talks about lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, it's about you winning, amen. When he talks about rising up out of the waters of baptism to walk in the newness of life, it's about you winning. Don't you want to win at life? So when Jesus talks about doing these things, it's all about winning. Amen. Nobody wants to lose. Oh, we celebrate winners, but we forget losers. Amen. That's an old song that everybody loves a winner, but when you lose alone. Bobby Womack sang a song, "Nobody Wants You When You're Down and Out." Oh, y'all know about that song. Amen. It's all about winning. But also in life, not only can you win, you can lose. A lot of things we can lose. Lose means to lose possession of something. You ever lost any money? Say amen if you want to. Amen. In life, sometimes you may lose a fortune, and some people have. And you may even lose some money. In life, you might lose a home, might lose a car, might lose some jewelry. Hello? You might even lose your life. You can lose a loved one. Hello? You can lose respect. Hello? You can lose some friends. Oh, yes, you can. But one of the most significant things you can lose is your soul. Nothing compares to losing your soul. And that's why Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then what he loses? His own soul. Jesus said, it would be better for you not to be born than to lose your soul. Amen. But if I live a sinful lifestyle, I'm going to lose my soul. Now that ain't pretty, but that's the truth about it. Because every lifestyle has an outcome. Now, winning and losing begins in your mind. It begins in your mind. Solomon, that great scholar, said a long time ago, he said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eastern philosophy puts it this way. It said that thought is the guiding vehicle of all that a man can be. You can't change people's lives. In fact, you can't help people if you don't change their thinking. You got to change people's thinking if you're going to really help them. And that's why the Bible directs the gospel to a man's mind. Amen? And so winning lifestyle begins in the mind. I decide how I'm going to live. I'm going to live right or I'm not going to live right. But it all begins in the mind. There's some teaching in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8, Brother Hillary, that I want to just do a little analysis on. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. And it talks about two kind of minds. And everybody either has a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. Everybody in here today got a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. Hello. Let's see what it says, Brother Hillary. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8 says what?
For to be carnally minded is
for
death.
For to be carnally minded
is death.
Is death.
But to be spiritual.
Wait a minute, Brother Hillary. To be carnally minded is, what does it mean to be carnally minded? To be carnally minded means to be hostile and against God. That's a carnal mind. The idea is taken from a military term, which means to follow orders. But a carnal mind never follows the orders of God. If God say up, you say down. God say hot, you say cold. Read, Brother Hillary.
But to be spiritually minded?
To be carnally minded is what?
Is death.
Is death.
But to be spiritually minded?
But to be spiritually minded is a spiritual mind is a mind that is receptive to God. A spiritual mind is a mind that says, you speak, Lord, your servant hears. A spiritual mind said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? That's what a spiritual mind say. A carnal mind said, I ain't thinking about God. A carnal mind is like Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. A carnal mind is seen in the thinking process of the man in Luke 12 whose fields brought forth a bountifully, and in his thinking process, he never had a place for God. God blessed him, but he didn't thank him. Hello? And if God is blessing you and you're not thanking him, you got a carnal mind. If you sit down to a McDonald's and don't say thank you, hello lights, you got a carnal mind. Is that right? You get your paycheck and you ain't got sense enough to say thank you. I earned this money, but who gave you the strength to go to the job? Who let you hold down the job without the job holding you down? Who let you live in this world without the world living in you? Is that all right? The rich man said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barn. I'm going to build some bigger barn. And I'm going to set in my soul. Take it easy. I ain't going to church. I ain't going to pray. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to study the Bible. Because I'm opposed to God. I'm doing my thing. The eyes of the brothers say, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. It may be your thing. And you may have a Burger King mentality to have it your way. Hello? But in the end, there's an outcome. Brother Hillary, you still there? What does it say?
But to be spiritually minded.
To be spiritually minded
is life.
Is life.
And peace.
To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I want to tell you something. A lot of people are messed up mentally. A lot of folks are messed up psychologically. A lot of people are messed up emotionally because of their lifestyle, because of their mindset. And lifestyle begins in the mind. Winning and losing begins in the mind. What else does it say?
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Because the carnal mind is hostile toward God. Watch this.
For it is not subject
to the law of God. It doesn't follow. Not subject is a military term. Meaning it doesn't follow God's orders. Don't even think about God. Feel like doing it, I'm going to do it. Lifestyle. Lifestyle. Power in that lifestyle. Ruining power, deteriorating power, decaying power, death-inducing power. What else, Brother Hillary?
For it is not subject to
It is not subject to the law, according to a military term. It doesn't take orders from God.
Neither indeed can be.
Neither, and that word, neither indeed can be, is in the present tense. It means continual insubordination. You know what insubordination means? y'all know what that means, don't you? And if somebody is continually insubordinate, you can't go on your job and be insubordinate, can you? Boss man tell you, or the boss lady tell you, do something, I ain't doing nothing. And I want my check at the end of the week. What's going to happen to you? They're going to escort you off the property. That's what's going to happen to you. Is that correct? Because you are continually insubordinate. Is that right? So that's a mindset. And as long as I have a carnal mind, I will never subject myself to God. And as a result, my lifestyle will come out of my thinking. Because as I think in my heart, so am I. I can rise any higher than my thinking. Booker T. Washington had the concept, if you could educate a man's mind, you could raise his consciousness and change his life. Education means literally, is a Latin word, it means literally to draw out. And the whole concept is, if you can educate people, you can make a better world. But the educational theory doesn't fit totally across the board, because you got a lot of educated fools out there. You got PhDs out there can tell you the chemical composition of the rain and can't hardly get at it. Hello? So education is not the total solution. We understand the value of education, and we encourage our young people to get some education, but get you some common sense too. Amen. You got to have some common sense to go along with that book sense. You got to have some mother wit. My mama said, boy, you need to get some mother wit. I said, mama, what is mother wit? She said, common sense, boy. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
So then they that are in the flesh.
So then they that are in the flesh, a lifestyle.
Cannot please God.
Everybody's got a lifestyle. Amen. Whether you're slipping or sliding in the darkness, or creeping, or down low or low down, everybody got a lifestyle. Huh? Everybody got a life. Everybody here got a lifestyle. And that lifestyle is either controlled by sin or by the Spirit. And the bent of my thinking controls how I live. That's why the Bible talks about be ye transformed by the what? Let your mind change. You see, some people come to church and they just can't get into it. I'll be glad when they get through. Because you carnal minded. Come on, y'all. Y'all all right? I wish you heard me get through. And then you went to Malcolm X and sat there almost 3 hours. Is that all right? You went and watched Baby Boy. You weren't complaining. Bing Rhymes and Tyrese. Yeah, and I got his new record, too. Baby, please stay. I play it, too. You can say what you want. I like it. But that ain't the only thing I'm listening to. Is that all right? You can go to the game. You can enjoy that. But when it's time to praise God, you just sit there. Amen. Man hit a three-pointer, you out your feet. I mean, out your seat. Preacher man, come down the road, you just sit there and look at him. Come on, y'all. Is that all right? A certain mindset. God said a certain mindset. Because whatever you enjoy doing, nobody gotta force you to do it. But when you tolerating something, you know, you just kind of getting through it. Hello. Winning and losing begins in the mind. And that's why the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, ruin, decay. Now here's the final point as we conclude this lesson. That is the place and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, spiritually. Number one, the Holy Spirit has come into the world. The Holy Spirit is here today. Hello? The Holy Spirit is here. Now, I want to talk about, as we conclude, I want to give you several things, several concepts in this lesson. I want to talk about, first of all, the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. Then I want to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. The first thing I want to talk about is that the Holy Spirit, who is the third person in the Godhead. Now, a lot of people get confused by this. There is one God, yet there are three persons that make up one God. God in Elohim is plural. Book of Genesis, we have traces when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. These are plural pronouns. Is that correct? So the Holy Spirit is in the world. He is convicting people of sin and pointing them to the world's only Savior. Let's look at some scripture to prove that. John 16:8, and then verses 13 and 14. The Holy Spirit is in the world, and he is telling men what sin is, because without the Holy Spirit help, we don't know what sin is. We don't know what sin is without the Bible. We need the light and the understanding that come from the Holy Scriptures to educate us to the reality of sin. Read, brother, here, what does it say? John 16:8 says what?
And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin.
He will reprove or convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit gives the world a consciousness of sin. Read.
And of righteousness.
And he points men to the world's only Savior. What else?
And of judgment.
And he tells men that they are accountable. And that's why I say lifestyle has an outcome. You reap how you live is what you're going to receive. So understand that reality. Read, Brother Hillary.
13,
what says what?
How be it when he, the Spirit of truth,
that's the Holy Spirit.
He will guide you.
Talking about the, he's going to guide them into all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself.
The Holy Spirit will not glorify himself. He's going to glorify Jesus Christ. Read.
But whatsoever he shall,
whatever he shall speak.
And he will show you
things. He will show you things to come. Now, second point. Spirit uses the sword of the Spirit to teach us about right and wrong. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. We won't have that read. But the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. It is called the sword of the Spirit. And he uses the word to show us what's right and what's wrong. Amen. When we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Amen. Also, when you get saved, watch that, this gets heavy, God gives you a down payment on your salvation. See, God ain't playing by salvation. And the reason I know he ain't playing, his son shed his blood. His son died on that. This is not a plaything here, y'all. And in order for the Lord to help me, he gives me a down payment. Now, if somebody come to you and say, look, I want to buy that car, and I got $1,000 today, you know then they ain't playing. Huh? But if somebody just talking, well, I want to buy it. And that's all he's talking about. I just want to, but when you going to show me you want to buy? Run over to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Let's see what that says. Listen to this. This is your down payment. Listen to it.
In whom ye also trusted.
In whom you also trusted.
After that ye heard the word of truth.
After you heard the word of truth, because the Holy Spirit uses the sword of the Spirit to teach you the word of truth. Come on.
The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believe.
You believe. So you believe, you trusted Christ as your Savior. Is that correct? Is that correct? Let me ask again. Is that correct? Thank you. Okay, come on, read it, read.
You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
You received that what?
Sealed with that Holy
you
Spirit.
You were sealed with what?
With that Holy Spirit of promise.
He that believeth and is baptized, or Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that say? What does that say? When you receive what? You were sealed with that what?
Holy Spirit of promise.
That Holy Spirit of promise. What verse is that?
13.
Read.
Which is the earnest of our
which
inheritance.
Earnest means down payment. Earnest means down payment. God is already giving you a down payment, and one day he's going to complete the balance. Read.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance.
Which is the earnest of our, every child of God has an inheritance. Is that all right? Read.
Until the redemption of the
Of the purchased possession. Until that's the church. Is that it?
Unto the praise of his glory.
To the praise of, and who gets the glory for this? God. Now, if you, the Bible says in the Great Commission that you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Now, the Bible also says, listen to this, if you don't have God's Spirit, you don't belong to him. Romans 8:9, let's do that quickly. Romans 8:9, if you don't have God's Spirit, you don't belong to God. Amen? You got to belong to God. And you can't live a spiritual lifestyle without the Holy Spirit. Hello? You had that, brother, here? What does it say? Romans 8:9 says what?
But ye are not in the flesh.
You are not in the flesh.
But in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Uh-huh.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit
of Christ. If any man have not the what?
Spirit of Christ.
The Spirit of Christ.
He is none of his.
He is none of his. If you belong to Christ, he's made a down payment on your salvation. Is that right? And the only, I'm going to tell you something, there's just too much temptation in this world without the Holy Spirit's help. Man, sin is a monster. Is that right? And sin affects everybody in this building today. I don't care how dressed up you are, everybody got a sin problem. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Now, let me give you three things the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and we're going to conclude this lesson. Three things. I've given you what he's doing in the world. He uses the word as to teach us the way of right and wrong. Amen. And there are three critical things that the Holy Spirit does in the life. And if you're being led, now let me just say this first. First of all, write these things down. We all have an obligation to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. Amen? Now, what we have to do, number one, we have to walk after the Spirit. That is, have a lifestyle where I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit lead me. How does he lead me? Through the teaching of the Bible. Number two, you have to walk in the Spirit. walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill sinful, lustful desires. And what you gonna do when you get tempted and you really wanna do something you know you ain't got no business? Y'all all right? Can I keep it real this morning? How you gonna handle that when the devil showing up, turn up the heat on you? You see that fine honey, she walking across the street, she's sure looking good. Brother Moss, I'm keeping it real. Or you see Denzel, young lady. Come on, y'all. Or you get a chance to make some illegal money. All you got to do is tell one little lie. Come on, y'all. But somebody done something to you. How you going to keep them hating them? Oh, I wish I had some help here. I just can't get nobody to help me, Hillary. You got to walk in the, and the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Otherwise, all of us going to be doing it. Huh? I don't know about you coming to the church, sitting on the pew. You got to walk in the Spirit. Because you in the world. And we all face the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. How you gonna handle that? Or get handled by that? You got to walk in the Spirit. You better go over there and get that for me. Hurry. Galatians 5. I need them. Verse 16. I need the NIV. You got the NIV? Let's do the NIV, Doc. Galatians 5, 16. I'm going to keep them being jealous of folks. When they done blowed up. How am I going to handle this sin thing? How am I going to live, right? I need some help, y'all. You got Galatians 5, 16. What does that say? NIV, what does it say?
So I say. Live by the Spirit.
Live by the Spirit.
And you will not gratify the desires.
And you won't gratify. You want to know how you live, right? You live by the Spirit because the flesh is always there. You human. Huh? It's there. So here's the answer. You want to go get you a 40. 40, what? You know what that is. I like you don't know what a 40 is. You better come on talk to me. Huh? Come on, y'all. Or you going to give him the bird. The bird, what? You know what I'm talking about, wild turkey. You don't want to talk to me. I'm keeping it real. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of y'all like to party. But you best cut that party out. Folks getting shot at parties. They getting stabbed at parties. And one thing about it, you can't get shot at a place you're not. Hello? I wish I had some help here. If you do what? If you walk, 16.
So I say.
Live by the Spirit.
And you won't gratify. The desires of the sinful nature.
I got desires in my sinful nature. Do you? Oh, y'all gonna get quiet. Thank you, Mr. Stafford. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Lifestyle. All of us live in a certain way. Read, Brother Hillary.
For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to
the Spirit. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to what this Bible teaches. The Bible's saying one thing, but something within me is crying out for something else. I guess I'm the only one. I know what the Bible teach, But I know what I got to deal with. Well, I put it, I know what I'm dealing with. Can I put it in the present tense? Read.
And the Spirit, what is contrary to
And the Spirit who leads me teaches me that which is contrary to what the sinful nature wants. Read.
They are in conflict with each other.
They are in conflict. That's where the conflict comes in. Don't you have conflict in your life? Don't you sometimes struggle to do what's right? Don't you need help to do what's right? Well, how, Brother Miles, how can I do it? Walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, you won't gratify the flesh. Read, Brother Hillary.
So that you do not do what you want.
So you do not do what you want.
But if you are led by the Spirit.
But if you are led by the Spirit.
You are not under law.
You're not under the law. Come on.
The acts of the sinful
now,
nature.
Now, here's what, if you're living a life of a sinful lifestyle, here's what you get involved in. He's going to give a list of things people get involved in when they live by the sinful nature. What are they?
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality.
Sexual immorality.
Impurity and
pornography. Sexual immorality. Amen. People say, man, you got to be crazy. You know, I have these needs, and you got to be crazy to think I ain't going to fulfill them. They're obvious. Can't be with the one you love. Can't be with the one you love. Thank you, Brother Rutledge. Can't get no help here. What else, Brother Hillary?
Impurity and debauchery.
Impurity.
And debauchery.
Debauchery.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
And witchcraft.
Witchcraft. Witchcraft. And let me tell you something. Crack, cocaine, heroin is a form of witchcraft. The word witchcraft comes from the Greek word pharmakia, from which we get pharmacy. What do they have in pharmacies? Drugs. And that's why it's so addictive. You get to smoking that crack. Man was smoking some crack. Was in the shower, was smoking crack. He said, I was smoking the crack in the shower, and the crack pipe just knocked me down. He said, I was on the floor just having convulsions and just shaking and trembling in the shower. He said, I got up. You know what I did? I took another hit. That's the addictive power of sin. You see people's lives ruined. We mourn a Whitney Houston. She couldn't beat her demons, it seemed, but that was a way. You might have your demons. You might have your demons you're fighting. We mourn a Rodney King. They couldn't beat their demons, but there's a way you can beat your demons. And the way is walk in the I'm doing this. I know it's wrong. I want to change. I don't want to do this. What can I do? Here's the answer. Walk in the Spirit. Read, Brother Hillary.
Hatred.
Hatred. If you hating anybody, there's a lot of hate in this world. Huh? Sometimes people in the kingdom of God hate each other. And if you do, you're being led by the flesh and not the Spirit. Is that right? Read.
Discord.
Discord. Can't get along.
Jealousy.
Why can't we get along? Jealousy. You just got a new car. Oh, ain't all that. Yeah, but child, how you gonna pay for it? Don't worry about how you gonna pay for it. You come rejoice with him. Read.
Bits of rage.
Bits of rage.
Selfish ambition.
Selfish ambition.
Dissension.
Dissension.
Factions and envy.
Factions and envy.
Drunkenness.
drunkenness,
orgies, and the like.
And the like. Watch this.
I warn you.
I warn you. Listen to the warning. Listen to the warning, church. Lifestyle. I warn you,
as I did before.
As I did before.
That those who live like
this. Those who live like this.
Will not inherit.
Will not inherit.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. That's the outcome. That's the outcome. Now, I said you have to walk after the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit. You have to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. And then you have to sow to the Spirit. Now, that's my obligation. What? Walk after the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Amen. Be led by the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Now, when I do, watch this. Three things happen. Number one, when I'm led by the Spirit, I walk in the light. As he's in the light. And if I'm walking in the light, listen. If I'm led by the Spirit, I'm continually confessing my sin. Because all of us sin and fall short. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're asking God on a daily basis to forgive you of those sins you're committing that you may not even be aware of. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ does what? It continues to do what? Cleanse me from what? All of my sin. That's why you ought to walk in the Spirit. Because as long as you walk in the light, that blood, and you keep confessing your sin, that blood keeps on cleansing you from what? All sin. That's what I need to do. I could die any moment. Walking in that Spirit. Amen. Yeah, I may stumble along the way. I may do something I shouldn't do, but I get up and I keep walking in the Spirit. The second thing you do when you walk in the Spirit, number one, you seek to grow in grace and knowledge. You seek to grow in grace and knowledge. You seek to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know that Jesus Christ is the way. Hello. And you don't just give him sanctified lip service. You do what he says you should do. Is that all right? And here's the third and final thing you do when you've been led by the Spirit. Number two, you manifest the fruits of the Spirit in your life. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And if you're being led by the Spirit, amen, if you go to an orchard and the apple tree ain't producing apple, it is not productive. Every Christian ought to be manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. Now, there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Let me give them to you. 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Did you get those? There are 9 of them. And if you're being led by the Spirit in your life, you say, I still have joy. I still have joy after all the things I've, and Lord, I've been through it. Is it all right? You still have love. If the Spirit is leading you, you have peace in your life. If the Spirit is leading you, there's long suffering. We got to be patient. We got too many folks so quick on the draw and want to just write folks off. Hello. Then there's gentleness. If you're being led by the Spirit, you don't talk to folks any kind of way. Well, you know I got a razor blade mouth. I understand that. But I'm saying let that razor blade mouth come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? And then your life, you have peace. You start to having a peace that passes all understanding. And you understand it's futile to worry. It's not helping me to worry. I'm worried, but it ain't helping me. In fact, I'm worried, and it's not getting any better. It's worrying. So how does it help me to worry? And I got to admit, sometimes I find myself worried. Sometimes I find myself depressed. But Brother Moss, you shouldn't be. Well, I might not shouldn't be, but I am. You see, I had to deal with the reality. Is that all right? My question is, what do I do to get out of this? Amen. But then there's gentleness. As I handle people under the burdens of their struggle, because everybody's going through something. And maybe they're not sharing, but everybody's going through something. Amen. Then there's goodness. Then there's faith. Then there's meekness. And then there's temperance. And if I do these things, if I let these things go in my life as I close, one day, heaven will be my home. Because I chose to live after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Is that all right? So I'm going to my seat now, but it's been a joy to share this message. And I hope somebody has been blessed by it. And I heard Brother Wynn, the hymn writer, say, I've seen the lightning flash. Oh, yes, I heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus say, still to fight on. Is that all right? He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Is that all right? I tell you, Brother Sterling, there's something about the promises of God. Is that all right? It's not enough to sit on the property. You got to stand on the promise. Is that all right? Not enough to sit on the premises. You got to stand on the promises. Is that all right? And God said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Is that all right? Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that all right? Jesus says, I'm going to help you. Is that all right? I'm so glad the Lord is going to help me. Is that all right? And if the Lord helps me, I can live a beautiful life. Is that all right? I can say each day I do a golden deed. Is that all right? By helping someone who is in need. Is that all right? My life on earth is but a span, so I'll do the best I can. Is that all right? Life's evening sun is sinking lower. Few more days, Brother Wynn, I got to go. Is that all right? To meet the deeds that I have done. Well, there, glory, hallelujah, will be no setting sun. Is that all right? While going down life's weary load, I'll try to help some traveler's load. Is that all right? I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom, glory to God along the way. Is that all right? Life's evening sun is sinking lower. Few more days, I got to go. Is that all right? To meet the deeds that I have done, for there will be no sinking sun. Is that all right? I'm so glad that Jesus, I tell you, he's all right, y'all. He's all right. Is that all right? Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is my bridge over troubled water. Is that all right? Jesus is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Is that all right? Jesus, he's the extra that makes my life worth living. Jesus, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. I tell you, he's all right. I tell you, he's all right. Oh, he's all right. If anybody can help me, it's Jesus. If he can help me to live my life, I ain't what I ought to be, but thank God, I ain't what I used to be. Can you say amen to that? And every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed, and I shall be blessed. Would you stand on your feet, please? That's the message. The power of a spiritual lifestyle, part two. Amen. If you saved today, I want to tell you how you can get saved. Only one true way, and that's to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, you got to believe it. John 3:16. You got to repent of your sin, Acts 17:30. You got to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And then you must be baptized, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, in water for the remission of your sin, and that makes you a child of God. If you are a child of God and you're living a sinful lifestyle, hello, you need to change that before it's too late. Because if you sow to the flesh, from the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That applies to all of us. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. If you need prayer, and we certainly do. Amen. We can't make it without prayer. You need prayer in your life this morning, because I certainly need it, and that's why I asked this great church to pray for me and my family. We got some challenges ahead. Amen. But I know one thing. I don't know what a day will bring, but I know him who brings the day. And because of him, I can face tomorrow. What about you? I don't want to face tomorrow without Jesus. Amen. So if you're here today, this is an invitation for you. If you're living the wrong kind of lifestyle, and you know you're on a road that leads nowhere, and if the devil can keep you on roads that lead to nowhere, he'll keep you on that road. But if you want to get on the road to somewhere, turn to Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Amen? So if you're here, we invite you to come right now as we sing, each day I do, a golden week, by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life, evening sun, is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the day that I have done. Well, there will be no setting, no setting, the truth.